Good morning, everyone. Greetings in Christ's name, and it's good to be with you on this beautiful morning. I remember sitting through council meetings as a preteen and thinking they were interminable and wondering what in the world was happening up in this little room anyway. And so in sort of a nod to the children, I'd like if all the children would come forward this morning, and we're going to have something special for you. Up to age 10. And you can sit on both sides. I know the mic is over here, but just come up and find a place up here in the front. I think we can probably scoot everybody together, and we'll just fill up as many benches as we need to going back. So while they're coming up, I have to think of Jesus and his teaching methods and the way he approached some of these lessons. And, you know, we often tell a story and then extrapolate on it. Jesus, sometimes when he was preaching, he would simply tell a story and then walk away. And the audience was supposed to come up with their own idea of what was to be taught. So that's a little bit what we're going to do this morning. Should have asked for a stand. Okay, how are you all this morning? Doing good? Should we stand up and sing a song? All right, let's do that first. Now, I'm a little bit croaky, so you're going to have to sing, and I won't really help. I'll get started, okay? But how about we sing Jesus Loves Me? That work? I'll get started. Jesus Good job. Okay, you can sit back down again. Thank you. I'd love to hear you sing. All right, how many of you have parents that tell you what you should do sometimes? Parents ever tell you things to do? Good. How many of you like to do those things? Some of the time? Most of the time? All the time? How many of you always do the right thing every time? Oh, right. Every time. Right. That's great. You're going to make your wife happy someday. That's good. I'm proud of you. I know a boy, or he's not a boy anymore, but he used to be a small boy, who didn't always do the things that he was supposed to do. He tried, at least some of the time he tried, but sometimes he forgot. And I'm going to tell you a story about when he was in fifth grade. And how many of you are in school? Okay, all right. Now, fifth graders, who's a fifth grader here? Any fifth graders? Sort of a fifth grader? All right. Now, when you're a fifth grade student, you're pretty old, right? Is that right? Fifth graders pretty old, Leighton? Yeah, they're pretty old. Should they know what they're doing? Yeah, they should know what they're doing. Should they know to behave? They should know what they should know to behave, right? Yes, they should. What's your favorite part of school, you boys? What's your favorite part of school? Reading. Okay, that's a good one. What about one of you girls? History? That's another great one. What about some of you? What's your favorite class in school? I don't know if you're Rebecca or Rachel, but I'm going to... Rebecca. Art. Who likes art? Okay. When this boy was in school, he liked art too. Now, why do you all like art? Ezekiel? Because it's fun. It is fun, isn't it? You can put your math books down. You can put your language books down. You don't have to strain your brain so hard, and you can draw or make things. It's a lot of fun. And this boy wasn't a very gifted artist. I remember one time, Sister Nancy, that's Noah and Uzziah's mom, she was this boy's teacher. And she had the class draw a picture of a bluebird in a tree among the dogwood branches. And I remember when the picture was finished, it looked like it was more like a chicken sitting in the tree than anything else. But the boy still liked art. But one year, when he was in fifth grade, the teacher had a great idea of an art project. And the art project was to take a picture that was copied on a piece of paper, and then she gave the class a bowl of different colors of corn seeds. There was, you know what Indian corn is? It's got black and red and yellow and purple seeds. Looks really interesting. There's red, and of course there's white. And what you're supposed to do, you're supposed to take these different seeds, these corn kernels, and put a little drop of glue in the paper, and then put a little piece of corn right there. And then you're supposed to color the picture with the corn seeds, the corn kernels, until the whole picture was covered in corn kernels, and you could see what it was. And it was supposed to, you had a black one for the eye, and you had a maybe an orange one, several orange ones for the beak, and it looked really neat. The only problem was there were hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of seeds that it took to fill the picture, because it was a big picture, and these little Indian corn seeds were very small. And so you had to put a drop of glue and then a piece of corn, drop of glue and a piece of corn, drop of glue and a piece of corn, on and on and on and on. And remember how art is supposed to be fun? After a while, it wasn't fun anymore. And does anybody guess who the fifth grader was, by the way? Should we just get that out of the way? Anybody? Who do you think it was, Austin? You have any guess? Me. It was me. That's right. So I was sitting there, and I was putting on one kernel at a time, and it was boring. Now, it shouldn't have been boring. It was my fault that it was boring. But you know what? What was the problem? Why was I bored instead of excited? I was lazy. That's why. I didn't feel like doing it. It was too much work. It wasn't fun anymore. I wanted to do something in 5 minutes and then run out and play. So I put a piece of glue and another piece of corn onto the paper, and then I put another one on, and then I stopped, and I stared, and I had put a ring all the way around the drawing. I think it was a bird. And then I started another ring all the way around, and I saw this huge area of white paper that was still there, and I had such a long ways to go, and I put another ring around, and I tried to sort of, but you know, it just was going to take forever and ever and ever. And finally, I sat there, and I stared at this stuff, and I started playing with the corn instead. Well, this is a nice orange one. This is a strange purple one. Where will I put this one when it's time to put it? And I looked at that one for a while, and then I went and found a different color one. And next thing you know, I was just fiddling around with the corn kernels in the little bowl on my desk. And you know, when your hands are idle, when your mind is unfocused, when you're not thinking about what you're doing, and when you're lazy, do you ever get in trouble when you're doing that kind of thing? When you're acting that kind of way? Well, I'll tell you what happened. I took a piece of corn in my hand, and I wonder what would happen if I just stuck it in my ear. Did you ever hear the story about the boy who was surprised to find that watermelon was growing out of his ear? Because he had planted carrots? Well, I planted corn in my ear. And it just went just right there in my ear canal, just a little bit. And I thought, oops, because it sort of went in. And what would you do if you did that? How about if you're a big fifth grader who knows what he's doing and who shouldn't be doing foolish things like sticking corn in his ear? What would you do? What do you think you should do? All right, Ryan? Tell your teacher. Do you think I told my teacher? That'd be the right thing to do, right? But that would be what? Embarrassing. Teacher, I've got a piece of corn in my ear. You what? All the school children would have laughed at me, and my teacher would have thought I was really silly. And she would have probably scolded me for being lazy, right? So no, I didn't. What did I do? Anybody want to take a guess? Okay, I took a pencil, and I thought, if I can just get around the top of this corn, I can pry it out. And I took my pencil, and I stuck it carefully in my ear. I thought, if I can just get over the top of the corn, I can pry it out the other side. And I got my pencil up there. I could just feel it sliding past the top of the corn. And I thought, this is going to work. And all of a sudden, went right down in my ear, farther. And I thought, oh, no, I've got to get it this time. And I took the pencil, and I shoved a little harder. And you know what? It just went all the way down and totally disappeared in my ear. And I could just barely feel the, when I stuck my pencil down there, I could just barely feel it scratching the top of the corn. Now what? Trouble, right? So I suffered in silence. It didn't hurt. It sort of was in there, and I didn't know what I was going to do about it. But I didn't tell anybody. And Art was over, and cleaning was over, and went home from school. And I had kept on sort of pushing, and even afterward, I kept on prying around there in my ear, trying to get that corn out, and it didn't ever come out. It just got a little deeper, a little deeper, and a little deeper, and a little deeper. Now, I didn't ask anybody for help, did I? And I was goofing around, wasn't I? All right, so there's two verses I'd like to read to you at this time. Colossians 3:23 says this, "Whatsoever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord and not unto men." What does that mean? What would have happened if I would have stuck to my art project and just been gluing corn kernels onto my piece of paper like I should have been? I'd have been fine, right? And I would have been done with my art project, right? If I'd have done my work the way I should have. But no, now I'm in trouble. I've got corn in my ear, and my art project isn't done either. Okay? There's another one in Proverbs 15, verse 19. It says, "The way of the slothful man." What does slothfulness mean? What is slothful? Narcissa. Lazy. Lazy. "The way of the slothful man is as an hedge of thorns, but the way of the righteous is made plain." That means that if you're lazy, usually you make life difficult for yourself. All right. Well, I knew I had to do something. I went home, and what do you think I did next? Any ideas? What's smaller than a pencil? Ryan? Yeah, I thought maybe a hairpin would be smaller than a pencil. Okay, so what's the logical thing to do? Nobody must find out about this this corn in my ear. And I'm desperate not to be made a fool of. And so I'm going to have to fix this problem all by myself. And so I went home, and I found one of my mom's hairpins. I went into the bathroom. I shut the door and locked it. And I started digging. And it just got worse. Because it was true. A hairpin is smaller than a pencil, which means that it can push kernels of corn farther down your ear. Which is all that happened. And finally, I had to realize that, you know what? I'm just making it worse. The problem is really bad. And I better tell my mom. Which wasn't fun. I went to my mom and I said, "Hey, Mom, I've got a problem." She said, "What is it?" What would you tell your mom, Noah, if you had a piece of corn stuck up in your ear? It's a little hard to break that gently, isn't it? She says, "You what? Corn in your ear?" And you're right. I was right. It was embarrassing. Now what are we going to do? Well, there's another verse in the Bible that says, "He that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but he that confesseth and forsaketh them shall find mercy." So often when you have a problem that you can't fix, and you know the worst thing about the things that we do wrong is that often we know better. I was a big boy and I knew better. I shouldn't have done what I did, and I knew better, and I knew that everybody else knew that I should know better. So it was embarrassing to have to admit that I was wrong. And, you know, adults, when you're grown up, do you think you'll always do everything perfectly? Thank you, Charles. No, you won't. Even when we know better, sometimes we do things that aren't right. We do the wrong thing. But remember that. If you try to cover things up, it usually just makes it worse and worse and worse. So I went and told my mom. Okay. So, which is probably the right thing. I should have done that. And, okay, so you moms, what would you do now? What should you do if a little person like this comes to you and tells you something like this? Have any bright ideas on how to get corn out of ears? Well, we thought about it a little while. Mom thought maybe the vacuum cleaner would work. So, I was willing to have anything because it was really deep in there and it was really hurting now. I didn't care how it hurt. I just wanted that corn out of my ear. So I stood there patiently while she took the vacuum cleaner up to my eardrum, or up to my ear, and turned it on. And my ear went, down the vacuum hose. And it pulled and pulled and pulled. It felt like my brains were going to come out my ear. But nothing happened. The corn was stuck down there, and it was stuck good and proper. And Mom called Dad up at the shop, and she said, "You better come home. We've got a problem here." And he came home, and he found, and Mom said, "I think I should stop." And I said, "No, I don't care. Do it some more." And so she had the vacuum cleaner to my ear when Dad walked in. He said, "What are you doing? You're going to burst his eardrum." So sometimes when you try to make things better, at first it goes worse, right? So maybe you thought it was scary to confess something, but you think, you know, it's worth it. But then it gets worse. It just gets worse. Was it worth it? Should have I told my mom? Should have I just not said anything? Because it didn't help anyway what she did. Should have I told her? I should still have told her, right? But, you know, sometimes things do get worse before they get better. My dad said, "Okay, we need to go somewhere." Where do you think he said I should go? All right, Ryan? To the dentist? You know what? That actually was pretty close because it was just about down there in my mouth by that time. But that's good. Anybody else? Austin, where should have I gone? To the doctor. Yeah, that's where we went. We went to the doctor. And we got to the doctor. You know what the doctor said? "You what?" Just like everybody else. And he said, "Okay, well, tell you what. Let's try something." So he took me into a room, and he stuck a pan up on my shoulder, and he took a great big enormous syringe. Just a great big one. It had a big barrel on it. You know what a syringe is, right? It's like for giving shots. Except this one didn't have a needle on it. And he put a bunch of warm water in there, and he said, "Now hang on, I don't know if this is going to work." So he looked down in there with his little scope first, and he said, "There's something down in there." And then he stuck the thing right in my ear, and he squirted it as hard as he could. And a little corn kernel that wouldn't come out any other way went pop, and it landed out in the pan, and there it was. And it was all over with, and it was done. And I had a clean ear, and I didn't have to worry about a stalk of corn growing out of it either. It was such a good feeling. Jesus said this about people who come to him. He said, "They that are sick don't need a doctor." I'm sorry, "They that are well don't need a doctor, but those that are sick." He said, "I came not to heal the righteous, but the sinners." So, you know, Jesus likes when we come to him with our problems. It's important, though, that we go to the right place. The doctor was the one that could fix me, right? And who's the greatest physician? Who's the doctor that can fix all your problems? Narcissa? Jesus is. Yeah, that's right. Now, does anybody know what's going to be happening up here in this little room today? What's going to happen? This is called a preparatory service or a council meeting service. And there's going to be lots of singing, and there's going to be long lines of people. And they go walking into that room, and pretty soon they come walking back out again. What do you think they're going to be doing in that room? Anybody? All right. Pardon me? Talking? Yeah. What are they talking about? Okay, I used to wonder too. Were you going to say? Okay, so they're going to do what's called giving their peace testimony. That's when they come into the room and they tell publicly, they say, "I have peace with God and with man." Because Jesus said that we need to have peace with him before we can partake of him or can have his nature in us. We have to have peace with him, we have peace with each other. And sometimes people come in and they say, "Will you please pray for me?" Not because they have a piece of corn in their ear, but maybe because there's something else that's in their life. And it's important that we do that, that we are able to come to each other and say when we need help, when we need prayer, that we are asking Jesus to help us. Okay, what do you think are some lessons that I should have learned from my corn in the ear experiment? Narcissa? Stick to my job. That's right. I should keep at my work and not be slothful. What's another lesson I should have learned? That's a good one. Yeah, I told my teacher. I should have. If I would have told my teacher right away, it would have probably gotten fixed. Charles, what do you think is another lesson I should have learned? Not to stick things in my ear? Ever? Yeah, I learned that lesson really well. And that's a lesson you can go ahead and take for yourselves if you want to. Another one is that sometimes there are unintended consequences to the things we do. What are consequences? Noah, do you know what consequences are? What consequences are? Can you tell me? What about Alice? Oh, sometimes that's a consequence. It's when you do something and something else happens. That's a consequence. And unintended consequences mean that sometimes when we do something, something happens other than we thought would happen. And so if we're thoughtless about the things that we do, sometimes things happen that we didn't expect and don't like. All right? Well, thank you all for coming up front. You're a good audience. And I hope that that you enjoy the service. And just remember, when you do something that's wrong or do something that was foolish, remember that we need to remember my ear. And remember that it's best to go and tell your parents about it or somebody about it to help you right away, because that's the way you can find help. Okay, let's stand up and have prayer. Dear Lord, I want to thank you for this opportunity to be together here with these young people. Lord, I pray that you would bless their lives and bless the potential that they represent. I pray that you would just help them, Lord, to grow up to be strong men and women of God, soldiers of the cross. In Jesus' name I pray it. Amen. All right, go back to your parents.